Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is none other than your host, William Powell, the king of DC media and all things acting. Welcome to another episode of Inside Acting. On the host with me is my co-host,
Nadia Williams.
And tonight we're going to be talking with legendary Howard University professor Vera J. Katz, who has taught for over 32 years and directed over 60 productions. Before we get into that, Nadia, what's going on in the news?
Well, you know it's award season, right, Will?
Uh-huh.
And I just heard of a new award ceremony that is honoring a different type of entertainer. Now, have you heard of the Golden Collar Awards?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's a ceremony that was held on Monday, and it is for dog entertainers. And I've never heard of this, but apparently it's a traditional Hollywood-style awards show with actors like Wendy Malick from Hot in Cleveland presenting trophies for the best dog performances on the big and small screen.
Wait, they give them turkeys? Are they the kind that walk around, or are they the frozen kind?
No, not turkeys, trophies.
Oh, trophies. I thought you said turkeys.
No, trophies.
Okay.
I'm sure the dogs would prefer the turkeys, but the top dog performance for the big and small screen, and the big winner of the night was Oogie, the dog from The Artist.
Oh, okay.
So, and have you seen that film?
No, I haven't. Is it any good?
It was spectacular. And I have to say, when I saw the film, I thought the dog should get an award, and lo and behold, it got an award. So, congratulations to Oogie.
All right. Okay. What else is going on in the news?
Well, I'm going to switch up to some classifieds in the area. I saw a position for a digital senior research analyst for the Travel Channel in Chevy Chase, Maryland. They're looking for someone with 3 or plus years of experience, college degree, and anyone who's interested can apply at www.scriptstepsworks.com, and that is scriptsneteworks.com, and use the code number 2794 if you're interested.
Okay. All right. Any other job announcements?
There's also a talent development specialist for Nat Geo TV. So they're looking for a talent development person to oversee casting, targeted talent, and development search. And anyone who's interested can apply at nationalgeographic.com and use the ID 4866 when applying.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, well, I see Mrs. Katz has joined us. Good evening, Mrs. Katz. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's Professor Katz.
Oh, Professor Katz.
Yes, it took me a long time to get that monocle.
Well,
all
welcome,
right.
Professor Katz.
Hello.
Okay, and that was my co-host, Nadia Williams.
Oh, hello, Nadia.
Hello, Professor Katz. How are you?
Fine, dear.
Okay, so let's talk about the foundation of what you teach young actors.
Well, I'm writing a book about that. I'm trying to right now, William. And I've been teaching for about 45 years, both at Howard and at Duke Ellington and privately and in California and in New York. I've started with the Stanislavski system, which
right.
is basically to use your own experiences and your own memory bank and your own emotions and graft that into the character.
Right.
But I've added, over the years, I've added by working with young people, the realization that words need to be more cherished, and that language and words seem to need more emphasis In other words, if you say something like the word smashed, you need to get the sounds there of smashed. You need to not only remember when something that you cared about was smashed, but with that S and M and S and H and D, you need to put the power of your feelings into the consonants or into the vowels, depending upon what you're saying. So language has become much more important in the work I do, still with the emotions and still with trying real hard to use yourself. And the other thing that I've realized that young students need to learn is respect for what the playwright is saying. And that's usually hidden under, subtextually hidden under the lines. And it's not just about the lines, it's about what's not being said, it's about the important words that the playwright is trying to get across to his or her community. So analysis of the text and what the playwright is trying to say is become more and more important in my teaching.
Professor Katz, how can actors become better auditioners?
Well, actors tend to forget that the people they're auditioning for are just like them. Meaning, the auditioners are searching for someone to buy. They're looking at your techniques, how you use your voice, how you use your body, how you use your emotions. They're buying you and they're looking to put you in a particular slot. So you have to see them as a shopper, as when you are going to the store and shopping for a suit or a dress, it has to fit your particular function. Number two, actors have to realize that the auditioners who are sitting there in front of you could not get up and do your monologue or your scene. Oh. They could not do it. They could not do it as well as you can, because that's not what they are trained for.
Right.
So you need not to, you being the actor, hand your power over to them.
Wow.
Your power is in you and in the work you've done, the preparation you've done, the analysis, the exploration, the personal connection to the piece. That's your power. I mean, if you were sitting on a bus, would you take your wallet and hand it over to someone you don't know who's sitting right next to you? No, you wouldn't.
Absolutely
do that.
Absolutely not.
Right. It wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense to hand your self-esteem and your power over to an auditioner. So you come into the room with a sense that, and you talk to yourself before you come in, self-talk, silent self-talk, and you say, I've worked on this hard. I feel I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to give it my best shot. And I'm not thinking about them. I am thinking about this piece, these
right.
words. Once you start thinking about them, you've handed over your power.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Big part of it is just trying to show you confidence. And you have to have confidence in what you're about to show from yourself.
That's right. That sounds good. When you introduce the piece, and we call it slating, when you introduce the piece and your name first, the name of the piece, the playwright, and the character, that's an opportunity for you to calm yourself down and to show your personality, not the characters, and it's like welcoming people into your home, you know. You want to put them at ease. You want to make them feel pleasant in the surroundings. So when you slate, take that opportunity, actor, to calm yourself down and to welcome the auditioner to what you're doing. that then will set you in the right mode. It's like the pre-start button. It will set you in the right mode for then beginning your monologue.
That kind of segues into another question I had about your recommendations on warming up. Yeah. What's some of your recommendations on that?
Well, of course, you want to wake your body up. You don't want to go on stage or in the room with a cold body. So you want to wake your body up by loosening up all your muscles, relaxing your neck. We hold a lot of tension in our neck. Relaxing your neck. You want to find a couple of good vocal exercises. You can find them in the back of acting books. You can ask a teacher for them to warm your voice up. It is not a good idea to be speaking to other actors in the room. In other words, concentrate only on yourself.
Right.
Take a moment of silence. I remember when I was watching some auditions in Hollywood, and the actors were standing outside the room, and they were all chatting away. This doesn't, you know, this takes your mind off.
Right.
Building your own sense of possession. That's what you need, a sense of possessing yourself.
Own sense of possession.
Yes. You can't do it when you're chatting with other people.
Wow. What's some great good...
advice.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's great advice. And for, I'm still very new to acting, and just hearing what special say is always very helpful.
Good. I'm glad. Well, I'm still trying to get this in my book. Maybe you'll buy it eventually.
So, Professor Katz, what's some techniques that can help actors become better at cold reading?
Yes, I teach cold readings privately in my home, and people come and take lessons. Well, first of all, you have to come off the page as much as you can. So, the first phrase of most lines starts with a very short phrase. You know, for example, you know, or well, yes, or no, I don't think so. And then the line goes on. So you scan what your response to your partner is going to be. You scan it. You let your eye look quickly at, well, no. And when your partner finishes, and you should be very aware of the last phrase of your partner's line. That's all you need to know. Your first phrase of your line and the last phrase of your partner's line.
Hmm.
So you can look at your partner and really hear him and really respond to him, concentrating on what he said, not looking at your line, not worrying about yourself, but accepting and being affected, this is very important, being affected by what he says. And then you know what your beginning response will be. Well, no. Then you look down at the body of the line quickly, and you say the rest of the line. But what I'm really talking about is a call and response, a give and take. You know, like church, up, back, up, back. They're looking for that, the audition. They want to see, are you responding to your partner? Are you getting affected by your partner? Don't keep your script in front of your face, because they may be shooting your face on camera. And if not, they're up looking at you to see how your face reacts. So put your script a little bit on the side of you, not covering you, where you can quickly look at it. Now, you don't want to look down at it either, because you don't want them to be shooting the top of your head. You
exactly.
You want to have the script up at your eye level, but on the side of your face, not in front of your face, okay? Because your face is taking in and giving out to your partner.
Right. Yeah,
now,
so much of acting is reacting.
That's right. That's so true. And they're certainly looking for that on camera, really. If you look at film scripts, for example, and I'm sure you have, there's very little dialogue in film scripts. There's a lot of action, and then there's a couple of lines here and a couple of lines there, and it's about you getting affected for the first time, not expecting what your partner said. So you can take in your reaction to what your partner said with your first phrase. Well, no. And then whatever the rest of it is.
That kind of segues into my next question was, how can actors, what's the key to being good on camera?
Well, you know, the camera is an instrument that gets into your soul. It gets into your eyes, and your eyes are the window to your soul. And so you have to really be thinking and thinking and getting affected and experiencing. So thinking is a lot about, you know, the lines are your thoughts. The lines are not words to memorize, they're thoughts to think. So when you're working on your lines and you're trying to memorize them, first analyze what made you think those thoughts, and then actually think the thoughts. So camera will immediately tell us whether you're thinking the thoughts or whether you're just standing there mugging or not experiencing. We can tell by your eyes whether something's happening to you inside. I mean, that's true of when you talk to somebody in life, isn't it? When you talk to somebody in life and you're trying to affect them, you can tell whether they're with you or whether they're thinking something else or whether they want to leave or whether they're bored. You can tell that by their eyes, whether they are engaged or not with you. And that's what you have to do. Think real thoughts. Listen the first time to what your partner says and get affected, and it will automatically happen on your face. Don't expect what he's saying to you. That's the tricky thing. You know, you know what he's going to say because you've read the script.
Right.
But you expect. Here's a tip. Expect your partner to say something else in your mind, and then he or she says the line, and you can take it as fresh, you know? Isn't that true when you eat? You go to a restaurant, you order something, and you expect that this dish is going to taste a certain way. But then it's so exciting when it has a little change in it, in the sauce or in the condiments or the spices. It's a change, and you say, wow, or you feel that on your tongue, and it's different.
It's a surprise. It's spontaneous.
That's right.
Being in that moment, that's a big part of it.
Being in the moment and being willing to be surprised, you know, not planning it all. Allowing it to happen. Now that takes, I know that's easy to say, but you have to have a lot of exercise work to learn how to just be free enough to respond. And that's the value of improvisations, of games, of exercises. And a good actor has to go through at least a couple of years just responding, you know? I remember a story about Debbie Allen when she was a student in my class at Howard. And it's an exercise that you may have heard of. It's pretty well known. You pass around a prop, and each person in a circle, and each person who gets the prop has to make the prop into something that it isn't, something different. So I usually use a ball, a small ball. So you pass around a ball, and they can make it into a baked potato by how they use it. No words. Or they can make it, I remember a student making it into a butterfly by how they use it. Okay. Well, what did Debbie Allen do? And this says something about how free she was and how daring and how way out she can be. She made it into a roll of toilet paper.
Check that out.
And doesn't that fit her, meaning her daringness, you know? and
right.
her freedom.
Willingness
and
to go out on a limb. Rush
that's
to embarrassment.
Right. That's it right.
Gets out of the box.
That's right. And the class was stunned, but she had a ball with it. And it was brilliant, as she always is.
That's really getting into imagination when Stanislavski went on and on in his famous book, An Actor Prepares, on imagination. I think so many people, and without it, you wind up with some very, very flat performances.
Yes, yes, yes. You're right, you're right. I can recommend two other books. I think that Michael. Michael Shurtleff, Shurtleff.
Yeah,
he has a book, and it can be gotten in paperback. I studied with him in L.A. many years ago. He's since gone, but his effect on many actors is still there, and it's called Audition. But
right.
there's so much wisdom in that book, William. So much wisdom. It's really worth getting. It's a Bantam book, and I teach with it. It's a wonderful book. And the other book that's been out for a while, you can only get it in hardcover, is Respect for Acting by
Uta
Hagen. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
those
book.
Are two wonderful books.
Yes.
They're not difficult to read either, you know. So,
by the way, what's your opinion of Meisner?
Well, I never fully studied Meisner. I've gone to some workshops on Meisner, but they've been here and there, so I don't have any continuity about Meisner. But what I've seen, I tend to feel that there's a lot of trickery that goes on. I've seen it in the workshops. In other words, the person, the actor isn't really responding, but he knows he's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes believe. But again, I'm not well versed in Meisner. And, you know, if you studied Meisner and your work is good, then fine. I'll tell you who I am impressed with, though.
Mm.
David Mamet's group. What is the name of that group? That William Macy comes out of. William Macy and Felicity, who I can't remember her name. They're on TV a lot. David Mamet. Hello? Yes?
Felicity Huffman?
Felicity Huffman. Thank you, dear. Those two people have studied with David Mamet's group, and it's called, I think, the Atlantic Theater Group in New York. And they put out a book. It's a paperback, and it's called, what is it called? The Power of an Actor. And it's a very good book. Very good by David Mamet.
Hmm.
And I think
he's a great playwright.
Yes. Now, he says something interesting that actors have to remember. He says, and I'm not quoting him exactly, he says, the audience doesn't come to the play to get all excited about your acting. They come to the play to see a story. And then they want to know how the story fits them. And most of the time the story won't exactly fit them, you know? I mean, you know, it might be about a woman in childbirth in Bosnia. Well, you never went to Bosnia, so it doesn't exactly fit you.
Right.
But can you identify with the dilemma she's in? Can you identify with her conflict? And the audience sees you as a conduit to the story and as a conduit to what is being said by the story. So if you start thinking that way, you know, you go to the movies, and yeah, there's some good acting there, but you're trying to figure out what is this whole movie about, right? What's it saying? And then how does this affect me? What do I do with this? Or why am I so moved? I mean, you know, you don't ask those questions. It just happens to you. And I think that's a very deep statement by Mr. Mamet, because actors tend to think it's all about me up there. You know,
Professor Katz, are some of the differences, you think, between the marginal actors and the one that become pros, the one that really stand out?
Well, I think technique is so important, and people who want to be actors, there are many who tend to bypass that. I mean, look at Viola Davis. She went through Yale. Look at Meryl Streep. She went through Yale. I mean, they studied for a long time. Denzel Washington studied at Negro Ensemble Company for years. Morgan Freeman, I saw him years ago in plays at the Negro Ensemble Company in New York. They went through a lot of study and training. They didn't just burst on the scene because somebody said they were talented or somebody put them in a high school church play.
Right.
I run into a lot of that. It takes as much time and drill for a good actor to train as it does for a good pianist to have the chops to play.
Right.
There's this tendency, well, I mean, all I have to do is get up and emote. All I have to do is get up, stand up there, and I don't mind people looking at me and be angry. And, you know, that's so wrong. It's so wrong. I when I go into the shoemaker, I really want the shoemaker to know, to have some technique about solving my problem with my shoes.
Right, and exactly.
We have that expectation when we go to a doctor.
Right.
You know, the stakes are very high when we go to a doctor. And if we don't feel that the doctor has any technique, we go down the street. We leave the doctor. So technique, and at least 4 years of training. Technique with a voice, technique with interest in words and language, because words are our tool as actors. Words are our tool. Painters work with brushes and color and canvases and paint. We work with not only words, but character study and our body. And so that takes a while. Everybody's body has mannerisms. We have to learn how to change it, how to reshape it when we're working a character. So I think that's really, you have to put at least 4 years into that kind of commitment with solid study.
Yeah, it's because it's been said that actors are sort of, we have a knack of being lazy. I mean, that's the rap on some of us. They talk about doctors, dancers will practice until they wear holes into the shoes and broken ankles and the whole thing.
Yeah. You're right. And look at all the study doctors and lawyers have to do and those hard tests. You're right. You're totally right. Yeah, and actors, but the ones I've met who do that, there's a young lady, Dawn Ursula. She was up for Helen Hayes this year. She was the first African-American female accepted as a company member in Woolly Mammoth Theater in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also is a company member of Everyman Theater in Baltimore.
Hmm.
Okay, Dawn Ursula. And, you know, she's straight theater. She's not film or TV, and I don't say that with any, you know, bias. It doesn't matter to me what you are. But she is straight theater. She worked with me for three years, and then she worked with the Shakespeare Company's school for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. All in all, she put in 5 years just training.
Wow. Professor Katz, we're running very low on time.
Oh, okay.
I just want to thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you on again.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I really appreciate
it. I would love to read your book when you
okay,
finally,
good.
Everything comes out.
Well, William, thank you so much for honoring me this way. I'm delighted. Can I get a copy of this interview sometime?
Yes, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And thanks again for calling.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hope to meet you both again. Bye-bye.
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 Okay, folks, I want to encourage you out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg. Have a good night.